Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and I am sitting in for Jane Matinair, who has the day off. If you're looking to call or text, give us a call. Send us a text, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. You can also get a hold of us on the live stream by going to our Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube page. Andrew from Maine, actually, I meant to say this a lot earlier. He said on the live stream, Jane says, as the song of the title of the song of the show is, that I'm taking off today and letting Greg shine for once. And you are very kind, Andrew, and I appreciate you a lot. So, lot to cover in this hour. And we also have a guest, Ian Abramson, comedian, thinker, human, who'll be at the Laughing Tap this weekend. Three shows, one tonight, two tomorrow. Go to laughingtap.com for more information. And we just closed out the 10 o'clock hour of the Ride into Spring contest, but do not worry. There are two more chances today, one at 1 p.m. and one at 3 p.m. That is during the Todd Alba Show and Maggie Dawn Show, respectively. You can listen for the word, and you will text it in using the Civic Media app. But if you don't have that app, you need to download it. Calvin thinks it's important to have that, right, Calvin?
It is one of the single most important apps you can have on your phone.
Yeah, and this is a man who loves TikTok. He loves TikTok and the Civic Media.
Well, love TikTok is a little bit of a stretch. Addicted to TikTok might be more accurate.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. We've talked about this. Yes, yeah. Yeah, if you're addicted to TikTok, you are very much familiar with those ads. Not the ads, but the videos where they say, hey, you've been on TikTok for a while. Why don't you put the phone down, get some water, and think about your life? But download that Civic Media app and then wait for that word coming up at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. Or just, you know, give us a call and text through regardless. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from who's on the phone right now. Karina, thank you so much for being so patient this morning. What can I talk to you about?
You know what? I really, it's interesting thing that you just said what we can talk about, because I really want to figure it out. What is the power and what are like a regulation to those, you know, the what we're supposed to vote for? Because you see, every time we vote for something what we want,
yeah,
like weed, like illegal marijuana,
yeah,
we voting for it every 4 years, saying yes, we do want it to, and nobody hears it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like confused. Why do we even have those referendums if they asking questions and they pick and choose out of those questions which one they want to do? So eventually it's just a fictitious, you know? Mm. Kind of like this is what I don't understand, how those referendum works and what are we doing it for, to say, oh, people said they want it, but we're still not going to do it.
Well, that's what's called a non-binding referendum, and it's a very official way of just getting an opinion of the people. And this happened during with the marijuana legalization referendum, which was only on the ballot, I think, in five counties or five cities. And it didn't have any staying power. It didn't have anything that, you know, it didn't do anything. And so, yeah, when we say, yes, Wisconsin would love to have marijuana legalized because it's a taxable item, it's used for medication, there's great applications to it, and we want it, the people want it, and they're like, yeah, because if you don't, if you'll remember, Robin Voss put forth a bill to legalize marijuana in Wisconsin through the assembly, and then it just died. Nothing happened. It was anticlimactic at best. We knew it wasn't going to go through, and we knew it wasn't going to be anything great, and ended up being a very restrictive law that actually put more money into being spent, more of our tax dollars being spent to build dispensaries throughout the state. So yeah, it's baffling when Karina, you're right, when they ask us our opinions and we say yes or no, and then they say, that's great, we're going to do something else now. Thank you so much, Karina, for calling. Always great to hear from you. If you want to call, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is the number. Calvin, I wanted to talk about something really quick here. We talk a lot about Mike Gallagher, soon to be former congressman. He is up in the Green Bay area. And I just wanted to give you an update, because I know you've been asking about every day. Like, you're like, Greg, what's going on with Mike Gallagher? Hey, have you heard about Mike Gallagher? I got some news for you, Mike, Calvin. So Mike's going to be just fine. If you're not aware, Mike Gallagher, who is our one of our congressional representatives up in the Green Bay area, he is not only leaving Congress, he is leaving Congress like ASAP. There is a Mike Gallagher-shaped cloud in his office. He's leaving that quickly because he was set to leave office. He was going to retire at the end of the year. Well, he has decided that he is going to be leaving on April 19th, which is actually putting ruffling the feathers, you would say, of some of the GOP elite in Washington, because the date he is set to leave, the 19th, is past the date they can actually just go ahead and have a special election. So they're not going to have a special election now. They're just going to let that seat sit vacant until November, because at this point, there's no reason to have a special election. To have someone run, to appoint somebody, or to have someone run for a month or so, and then get in office for a month or so, and then have to run again, it just doesn't make sense. So him leaving, yeah, puts a little bit of a piece of sand in their clam, because they are going to ruin the pearl of their you know, running things, because the Republicans are losing more and more of their majority in Congress, especially. But the reason why I bring it up is because Mike Gallagher, he's going to be just fine, because he is taking a job with the data analytics company Palantir very soon. No word on what he'll be doing. No word on his job description. No word on the pay. But he's got a job. He's going to be good. He's going to be fine. He'll be bringing home the bacon, that really crispy, thin bacon you like, Calvin, by the way. He's going to be doing that. But I think it's very interesting because, you know, I we've had conversations before on the show with Jane, with Kristen, with Dr. Kristen Lierley on public service announcement. And we've, you know, we all come to the consensus that Mike Gallagher is a serious Republican. He is a traditional Republican. He's not a MAGA by any stretch of the imagination. I think he tried to do it a couple times during his time in office, and it just doesn't suit him. He's a very level-headed thinker, part of the GOP party. And it's the current climate of the, especially the Congress, is not for him. So he's leaving, and I get that, and I understand that. I'm saddened, because if you want to make it better, you stay and you help make it better. You wait it out. You do the work. But I'm also not him, so I don't know what he goes through. But now he's going to be taking a job in the private sector that's probably going to be getting him a good deal of money, because it is a company. It's called Palantir, Palantir. There are data services that are used by the U.S. corporations and other governments, including security and defense contexts. He is a person who is big on, he's what they're called, defense hawks, make sure America has a good, strong defense. And he's also a person who was, he was the chair of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, and that he is, he basically would be taking a job that was in line with his defense policy and his goals for preventing conflict in the Indo-Pacific. So, yes, Mike Gallagher, just wanted to give you that update, Calvin. Mike Gallagher is good. Are you okay now? Does that make you feel better?
I am relieved. I was really concerned about him.
I know. And I don't like you being worried. That's what my job here is to do, is make you worried. Or the job, I'm not want to make anyone worried listening to the live stream or texting in. Speaking of texts, I wanted to read one that came through. Let's see here. Regarding that story I talked about with the Hello Girls, those women who were the Signal Corps operators, four of them from Wisconsin, and talking about their legacy as people who served in World War I, getting their veteran status many years ago. But we're talking about because they very important to have that discussion. But let's see here. Robert or Maureen from Richland Center, as it says right here, listening to WRCE the 608. The Four Seasons Theater in Madison at Overture Center put on a musical about the Hello Girls this year. It was great. I would love to see that. Let's see here. Robert McFarland, listening to the 608, he says there was a marijuana one on the ballot the first time Russ lost to Ron. Very sad day. Yeah, we've been, you youngins out there, we've been fighting to try to have marijuana legalized in the state for a long time, because who has it legalized? Let's see. Minnesota, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Iowa. I'm going to repeat that. Iowa. Russ loses blew my mind, but I do know people who just voted for the marijuana and left everything else blank. So they just wanted to have their fun that weekend, I guess. And then Jim from Appleton, listening to the WGBW in the 920. This is totally awesome. Greg Bach started last night and then running most of the morning. Ba-dum-ba-bum-bum. He's loving it. Please don't sue me, McDonald's. Thank you for the kind words, Jim from Appleton. That's very, very nice of you to say. You can always contact us by text or calling 855-75-CIVIC. Once again, 855-752-4842. When we return, Calvin, do you know the old adage of the definition of insanity from Einstein?
I believe I am familiar.
Yeah, he said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Well, that's kind of what I want to talk to when we get back. I'm going to go grab some water. You grab some water, too. You hydrate, because it's Beyonce Day. We're celebrating the wonderfulness that is Beyonce's new record, Cowboy Carter. So don't go anywhere. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matt Nair today, who's taking the day off. That was Beyonce's cover of Blackbird by the Beatles. Off her new record, Cowboy Carter. I don't work for Beyonce. I'm just going to talk about the entire show. Happy Beyonce Day to those who celebrate. Cowboy Carter now available for purchase. So, yeah, good, good song. Folks, do not forget today, finally, baseball is here. Hopefully nothing in New York happens. And we have some baseball, Brewers versus the Mets. You can listen to that game because it's Civic Media's Game of the Week. Brewers versus the Mets, 12:05, the program starts, 12:40, the game will begin, and you can listen to that news from the center, WRCE, WRJN, or you can listen to it on WCQM 98Q Country. So, before we do that, before we get into it, I think I'm going to take this call. We got a call, Gary from Sussex. Gary, what may I talk to you about today, my friend?
Well, there are two things.
Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, I've been curious about Matt Flynn. Also, one day he's off the air. I haven't heard hide nor hair from him. So finally, he was a guest on Todd's show. What happened to his show that when, you know, all of a sudden he's off the air? What happened to him?
Well, I can't really get into that one, Gary. That's an internal discussion, and I can direct you if you'd like to email me directly or call later, but I can get you some information how you can find out, but that's not something we're what's the second thing you'd like to talk about?
Well, is he going to be on air eventually, get his show back, or is he just going
to
be?
Garrett, let's just. I need you to just do me a favor. We're gonna let's talk about what else. What is the second point you'd like to discuss today?
That I thought that would be the easy one. This is the hard one.
Okay,
I'm a conservative. Okay,
I know you are.
I'm voting yes. All right, on these referendums.
Okay,
and the one especially about the one about bringing in outside money like the Zuckerbucks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I don't think that we should be doing that as far as Republicans or Democrats. I think that we should just keep it with the people that are doing it. They're living here in the state. If they want to go out there and try to support people, I'm for that. And the other one about having other than election officials working on the election, to me, I think that we should have only people that are touching ballots should be touching them, those elected officials, not people that are not officially part of it. So that's my thought. And I can't imagine any Republican or any Democrat disagreeing with this.
Well, go on, Gary.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say.
Okay. And as far as the referendums about the money for Milwaukee, your last caller, he said it exactly the way I would have said it. They received a ton of money through, during the COVID, and, you know, you got to have responsibility. Now, my daughter's a teacher, not at MPS, but she's a teacher. My wife's a teacher. My sister-in-law is a teacher. We have 80% of the people in my family are teachers.
Okay.
So I support the teachers, you know. So it's not like I'm against teachers getting any money at all. You know, my daughter, she works at a private. She makes about half what MPS teachers are making, you know.
So if you lived in MPS area, would you be voting yes for the MPS bill then? Or the referendum?
I'd probably say I'd like to know a little bit more where all this money went during COVID. And the schools do need to be, and these teachers need to be paid a good amount of money because they're going to leave otherwise.
Yeah.
Because I think they're getting ripped off, and working at MPS is a lot harder than a normal teacher. I mean, because one of my employees, his wife works at MPS.
Mm-hmm.
And the horror stories that I hear, it's terrible. You know, you go into school, sometimes she gets classes. It's like a zoo in there. And then sometimes she gets classes that are really well, you know, the kids do well.
Well, I guess the question I would have then, Gary, is if you want more information, and I understand that and I respect that. If people vote no on the referendum and they don't get money, then the problems might just be exacerbated then. So, I mean, I get what you're saying as far as the MPS and there should be more information given. And I'm sure it is out there available for people to see. But by voting no, we are then putting a stop on the money that can go to help the students, help those teachers get the pay they need. Because you yourselves just said it, they deserve to be paid well, paid better, and respected more, and given more help. Unfortunately, our state house has turned it into a situation, and our school boards have turned it into a situation where we have to turn to referendum to get them that money, which is hard when people who don't have children, people who don't have their kids in those schools say, well, why should I pay for this? That has nothing to do with me. And it has, and really, when it comes down to it, it has more to do with, you know, do we want to take care of the kids? So that's the thing I would ask. Gary, thank you so much for calling. We got a bunch of other calls coming in. Tim from Eau Claire, what can I talk to you about today?
Well, I wanted to give you a compliment on your critique of Mike Gallagher there. While I might disagree with him a lot, I don't know if you do or not, but what you said about him, I thought was what this country needs more of. Country needs two sane parties, and he sounds like he is one, and you gave him a nice review. I just thought I'd say, you know, that was a nice thing to do.
Tim, I thank you very much for the compliment on that one. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Mike Gallagher, he and I disagree on many things. There are many issues that we would not have differing arguments, but he has been noted as and recognized by by liberals and conservatives alike who have a fair head on their shoulders as someone who is a fair Republican who does not want this mega craziness in Washington, who wants to compromise when you can compromise, take care of the country, keep our defenses well supported. So even though we would disagree on probably quite a few topics, he's a person I could have in this room probably and have a discussion with. And I respect that a great deal. So we need more Mike Gallagher's if we're going to have that in Washington. So got a couple minutes left. Scott from Milwaukee, how are you today, my friend?
Hey, Gary needs to understand regarding the referenda.
Yeah.
The Republicans are trying to defund elections. And if they defund elections, that means there's going to be longer waits in line. There's going to be less people working the polls. Now they're taking a step farther and say not only we're going to defund the elections, we're not going to allow anyone to contribute money. And not only are we going to have less employees at the polling places, we're not going to allow anybody to volunteer.
Yeah.
And they make it sound like it's all so legit that they should be certified by the politicians. Well, that gives the Republicans the control as to how many people are working the polls and exactly who's working the polls. This is a sneaky Republican plan to defund elections and make it tougher for people to vote.
Thank you, Scott. I agree with that. I do agree with that. I would also say thank you for calling, Scott. Appreciate that. I'd also say the referendum on school money is trying to slowly defund the schools as well. And that's a whole time for another conversation. We are going to return in a moment. But when we get back, Ian Abramson, comedian, good person, human, is joining us. He's going to be headlining the Laughing Tap this weekend. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matt and Air. And that is, as we all know, Texas Hold'em from Beyonce, as it is Beyonce Day or Beyonce Day. Happy to those who celebrate. And I am so very excited to have our next guest on the show. He is a comedian. He is an artist. He has been on Conan. He has been on Comedy Central. He is, as says on the live stream, an unconvicted felon, which we can talk about more if you'd like. But most importantly, we have him here right now, and that is Mr. Ian Abramson. Ian, welcome to Matt and Aaron Air. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, buddy?
Hello! So glad to be here. Cannot be more excited to be talking to you once again, Greg.
Yeah. Buddy, you're going to be at the Laughing Tap this weekend. Three shows, Friday tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. And I got to say, if you want to see an amazing show that's just, you know, I don't want to say performance art because I feel like this is insulting to your craft. I would just say it is
that's
a performance.
Make people not show up.
Exactly.
Don't worry, it's not. It's very traditional. We will be doing spiritual hymns.
Oh,
they are sing along. There's PowerPoints on how to be more successful in business. Normal things, not crazy performance art. I'm just kidding. It's going to be very weird.
This time 4 years ago when the tap opened, you and our buddy Zach Peterson did a show. And you started the show. If you've never been to the tap, we've got a bar on the side of the room, and it's a very high up ceiling. And we're all getting ready for the show, waiting to start. And then all of a sudden, pops out of the curtains, Ian Abramson standing on essentially like 15 feet off the ground. And I think you were reciting Shakespeare,
something like that.
Yeah,
it was fun. I did a monologue up there.
Yeah,
it was like way. I had to climb a fire ladder to get there, and I knew that if I asked someone if I could, there was a good chance the answer would be no. But if the show had started when I was up there, there was no stopping me.
Why ask for permission when you can ask for forgiveness? And Ian,
right?
I forgive you.
That's literally how America was founded, right?
Yeah, true.
First with the pilgrims just showing up like, it's okay, we're here, right? And everybody being like, we won't know this language for years. And then they finally get settled, and they're like, by the way, we're actually our own country, England. I did not expect to say any of this. I should not go into something that is even remotely controversial live on the air. I'm following the wrong impulse right now.
Don't worry.
Who do I have below me here?
This is Kelvin. This is Kelvin, our producer, our board op. Kelvin, say hello to Ian Abramson.
Hello, Ian.
Oh, wow. There's a sneer.
Hello. I know you're in Milwaukee as well. You're a comedian. Are you a host? Who are you, Kelvin?
I am the producer of this radio program. That is all.
Love to hear it. I bet that's not all. I'm sure that you're a wonderful son.
That too. I've been told.
He's a wonderful young man. We love to have him here. He makes sure everyone sounds really good and keeps everything running. So, Ian, you know, it's been a while since I've seen you, and I just kind of want to talk. Like, I like to talk about comics and their journey. When we first met, you lived in Chicago, and then you moved up to LA. And now you are back in Chicago. Just give us a brief overview of the past few years. Like you know, I mean, you hosted it. First of all, actually, I want you to tell us about the show 7 Years in Purgatory. That was a very interesting show to watch. As a comedian, as a stand-up myself, you watch it with a certain amount of anxiety. Can you tell the audience what the premise of that show was?
That is so nice. Yes, absolutely. I wish that the show was called 7 Years in Purgatory, but it's 7 Minutes in Purgatory.
Sorry.
I couldn't get it. No. Why would you know that? I'm not trying to correct you in that way. What I'm trying to do is say that it didn't last as long as you and I wish that it did, right? It lasted 7 minutes. I wish people had to be on stage for 7 years. That would be its own challenge. The show was called 7 Minutes in Purgatory, and comedians would perform to a camera in one room, and the audience would be watching the live feed in a separate room. So the audience is getting to enjoy the show together, but the comedian has no idea whether they are killing or bombing or anything, right? And so it was very fun. We got to do a couple seasons on Comedy Central, and it was just a grand old time.
Yeah.
I spent some time in LA doing comedy, stand-up, acting stuff, writing stuff, just having a good old time there. And then at the beginning of 2020, the very beginning of 2020, I went on the road with our friend Zach Peterson.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the tour, there was something weird happening in China. And at the end of the tour, we had to cancel our last show because the world was shutting down. That was like the timeline of the tour. It was like it was ramping up almost exactly with us in that way.
Yeah.
I was doing crowd work in Minneapolis, and I found out the term COVID-19, right? Because at first, the news had just been calling it coronavirus, mm-hmm. so that was the only term I knew.
Yeah.
And then I was like, somebody said the term COVID-19, which if you don't know what it means, sounds like nonsense.
Yeah.
So I had to be like, COVID-19, the number, 19? I thought they were messing with me. But in that tour was the Laughing Cap. That was my first time there.
Yeah.
I encountered you all, but the Laughing Cap was up and running and this very exciting new cool club in Milwaukee. And we had just the best time. That was a memorable show for all of us. Zach and I talk about that show. It started a wonderful relationship now that I have with the Laughing Cap. I just love that club so much. And in a way that, like, yes, I'm going to be there tonight and tomorrow, but I'm not exaggerating, okay? This is truly tied to my life, so much so that last year, coming out of COVID,
yeah.
I was finally like, okay, let me think about how I want to get back on the road, go to some places. I still live in L.A., but I want to be doing more stand-up again. And getting out to the Laughing Cap was on the top of my list. So I did that. And that weekend literally inspired me to move back with my wife to Chicago because that is true. I now live in Chicago. And it was just like, right. I love the comedy here. I love comedy in the Midwest. And the fact that the Laughing Cat can exist and have such a fun, cool community of like comedy fans and people who don't realize they're comedy fans yet, it's just a great vibe all around.
Well, you're making me blushing like a, just like a kitten that's just covering my face. I truly loved having you there the first time in March of 2020. It was funny because you guys came in and did like a Monday show. And then that weekend we had Sam Eich from Boston, and those shows sold out and half the audience showed up. And we were like, I guess we're going to be taking a break here. And we said, all right, folks, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Stop that spread. Stay indoors. I mean,
you all were nice enough to give us a Monday show because we were like between cities. Yeah. So we weren't surprised that it was like half filled. But then by that weekend, I'm sure, yeah, it was like, what's happening?
I think we should stay home tonight and just say no to comedy outdoors. And honestly, like, you sent me the loveliest message. It was back in July when you moved. You was like, you said to me, partially inspired by a great time you had in Milwaukee, and you said, let's find an excuse to get together. And I love that. It was just very, very sweet. And we made the excuse of you coming to the Tap to headline tonight and tomorrow. And we're very much looking forward to it. You know, I tell people, I've mentioned when people were asking about the club this weekend and I said it was you, I said that I would say that you and Nick Vatterott have two of the most unique Conan sets I've ever seen. I don't think, as far as taking it to another level, no one, in my opinion, like, there are great sets. There are funny sets. I know people who've been on the show and they've done well. But as far as like visual and making you go, what's happening here? You and Nick Vatterott. And I want to talk about this really quick, your Conan set, and what inspired, was this something you were doing on stage live, or did you just decide to do this on Conan? And just tell the people what you did do in the set. And I will link the set to our show notes today so you can watch it yourself.
Right. So on TV, I got a lot of very vulnerable people to give me their life savings, and I fled to the Bahamas. It was a unique comedy set in that sense, but I'm living a lot more happy now, and they haven't been able to catch me.
Unconvicted felon.
First of all, I love Nick Vatterott. So funny. He's yes. So creative.
Oh, my gosh.
He's so interesting. He is a wonderful writer, performer in L.A., and I always look forward to seeing him. So, and check. Said that now. Okay. I'm trying to keep track of my own brain. I've got too many things going at once.
What inspired you to do the thing on Conan, and were you doing that live? I'll repeat it. So
thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
You
I'm here to help. Greg.
That's good hosting right there. That is like, wow. What I did was I wore a dog's shock collar, and I gave the remote to one person in the audience so that if they didn't like my jokes, they could electrocute me. And I was doing this live, and I still do it live sometimes.
Okay.
I can't find my charger for my dog collar right now, so I don't know that I'll be doing it tonight or this weekend, but okay. We'll have other kinds of fun. Other kinds of, you know, I will be hurting myself in front of you, I promise, okay? I was doing it live, right?
Yeah.
And so, talking to the booker at Conan and being like, here is a handful of things that I could do, would love to do on the show, and trying to kind of figure out what they thought would be the best fit, and somehow we managed to convince them that that would be that.
Yeah.
And now it's happened.
And that's the thing, too, is that getting on a late night show is it's a process. You have to submit jokes. You have to it's not just like, hey, it's Friday. You want to be on the show on Monday? It's like they're going to see you. They're going to see your jokes. They're going to help you pick your set. They're not going to rewrite it for you, but they're going to help you craft a great 5 minutes. And so walking up to them and saying, yeah, I want to put a dog shock collar on my neck and let people electrocute me. And even for Conan, who is took the torch of Letterman in wackiness and weird, I'm sure there was someone who was like, I'm sorry, repeat that again.
What's fun about that is I heard in an interview once the guys that made South Park say that their strategy was to pitch something at a 10 so that they could get away with a 6.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Which is to say, like I said, I gave them a list and I was shocked. I assumed that the shock collar would be one of the things that they were going to knock off first. Yeah. Right. But it kept other things got crossed out first. Right. I do full on stand up and I expected them to want something that I felt less high concept right off the bat. But also I said, like, you know, a lot of what I do is that it is like a good way to show me. So, you know, it was a conversation, right?
Right.
What I'm saying is I manipulated them into letting me enter myself on their television show.
All right. Well, we're going to take a moment to get ourselves rehydrated, to get a snack, but Ian's going to stick around and we're going to round out the show talking about this weekend. Also, I want to talk a little bit about your process, man. But don't forget, you can always send a text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75, I'm totally blanking on, 752-4842, I know the phone number, but don't go anywhere, stay close, you're listening to Matt and Aaron on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network with Ian Abramson. Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is taking the day off. And we are returning with one Ian Abramson, who is headlining the Laughing Tap tonight and tomorrow this weekend. Three shows all together. You can catch them. Tickets are still available, laughingtap.com. Now, we have a vibrant audience listening to our show every day, Monday through Friday, Ian, and they have some things they want to say to you. Do you mind if I, like, some live stream comments and some text messages?
Please. We got?
All right. First, let's see here. This comes from the 715 listener saying, okay. I know people need a reason to go outside these days since attendance at sports shows and time with friends have all declined. People say, I can just stream it when it comes to things like comedy and, you know, seeing Ian. They say, Ian Abramson is different. Seeing him live is the best way to hear his comedy. He is so worth making a trip out.
That is so nice. I was about to, I thought that it was going to be like a question like, well, why should people go out? That's such a nice compliment. I agree. And I also stream stuff all the time, right? I love watching stand-up on my TV.
Yeah.
But there's nothing compared to watching comedy live because even when you watch it streamed, they film it live because that's what it is, mm-hmm. right? It's not like comedians release a studio album in that way, really, right? You would get to experience being in the room with a comedian. So sure, yeah. I'm great. Sure, I'm awesome. But you should be visiting the Laughing Tap several times a month. Okay.
I can't disagree with that. On the live stream, we had somebody chime in. They said, oh my goodness, I can't wait to see Ian Abramson. That is from, Ian Abramson. Sorry, that's you. You put that on there. Yeah. Sorry. Well, okay. I'll do another live stream comment here. It says, did not realize my name would be attached to that comment from Ian Abramson. Okay, Ian. All right. So. I'll tell you what. Let's just go back to the text messages.
Let's do it. Great, please.
We got a lot of text messages that came through. Apologize if we can't read them all, but this one struck me. Listening 773. Oh, Illinois. I like that. This is Ian Abramson. Would you mind asking me if I've ever heard of myself? So really taking over the show, Ian.
That is egregious. I can't believe somebody would ask me that. Of course I've heard of Ian Abramson. I do not respect the man, but I lived with him for a while, actually.
Yeah.
And I, for one, am glad he's going to be in Milwaukee this weekend because I live in Chicago and I won't have to share space with him.
Well, you heard it here, folks. A beef mm-hmm. with Ian Abramson. Okay.
That's
well.
Right. I'm not afraid to say it.
Also another, and you'll enjoy this. A friend of mine named Greg. It's not me. I promise you. It's Greg with two G's at the end. He said, "Hi, Ian. I am Greg, and I am blind. All my dates are blind dates." So I thought you'd appreciate that.
Oh, Greg, I love that. My father, this is not a joke. My father was legally blind. I say legally blind because that means like he could see some colors and shapes and stuff. We always think blind means one big thing. Here, actually, let me show you this this photograph that demonstrates what I'm saying perfectly. So when you look here, this is what most people think being blind is like. But if you look here, it actually is more like this.
All right.
Hope that helps, Greg. Big fan of you.
Now, Ian, so if you're listening, everyone, if you're listening to this interview, Ian, you are a fantastic person to talk to. Very, very fun. What is your process for writing comedy? Because, you know, a lot of comics are going to sit down in a coffee shop, write their thoughts down in a book, and they're going to go to an open mic and do their thing. I know you do those things, but what, like, when you want to do put a dog's shock collar around your neck and do stand-up, are you just, like, just riding on the bus being like, you know, it would be a good idea? Or are you, like, developing them from, like, hey, if I do this really crazy thing, all right, let's bring it down to dog's shock collar.
Wow, fascinating. I love the way you're asking that. I do think it's funny to voluntarily hurt yourself. I think that there is something funny to that. So thinking about like, right, a shock collar is one way that one might do that in a way that isn't go to the hospital dangerous,
yeah.
Right? But more than that, when I start thinking about that, I start thinking, what's interesting about that? And it made me think like, wow, every time a stand-up comedian goes up and tells a joke, that's how it feels anyway, right? Like you're worried, hopefully you're not worried, but you run the risk,
yes,
right, of people not liking the joke and deciding not to laugh, or not like not even deciding not to laugh, right? Just not laughing. Mm-hmm. Laughing's involuntary, so you didn't make them laugh. And it feels painful because you wanted to, right? And so I thought that metaphor would be more that metaphor would be clearer in the audience's mind, right? They're realizing that if I don't do well, it feels bad, but in a very direct and literal way.
Yeah.
So
we got the shows tonight, but beyond this show, we got a couple more minutes before we're going to take off, and I'll see you later. But what are you working on now? What's going on? You know, because I know I've been talking about a lot of the past, but like, what are you working on right now in Chicago? Like, any shows? Like, is there a project that you're really excited about that's got you going?
Thank you so much for asking that. This is a very exciting time in my life. I have a special coming out April 9th. So tonight at the Laugh Factory,
cut his mic. Just kidding.
Please, okay, cut his mic. That's what the Laugh Factory should have done, and I'm not going to win. Okay, anyway.
It's not the first time it's happened.
Pretend like none of that was said. Let's move on. You get it? Okay.
Right.
I have a special coming out April 9th
through
Comedy Dynamics, and I'm very excited. But that means tonight I'm going to... I've been working on nothing but new material since coming back. Last year I was very fun and loose and doing some things. This year, there's definitely a lot of room to play, but okay. Also I'm just so excited to get to do the material that I've been working on.
Well, Ian, I can't wait to see that new material at the Tap tonight and tomorrow. LaughingTap.com, 3 shows. Ian Abramson has been our guest. Thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Matt and Aaron Air. Coming up next is the Todd Alba Show. And don't forget to stick around for that Ride into Spring contest. Ian, thank you so much. You are awesome. Let no one tell you differently. Have a great weekend. Take care.